Talk to me. WSRadio.com. Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. I think we're back. Am I on?
Are we back? Me? Am I back?
I can hear you. I got to bump me up. There
you
we go.
I
now,
hear you,
now
buddy.
You got me. It's our first post-Booblets podcast.
Post-Booblets. So, that's how we're going to
that's a big one for
determine
us.
Time from now on. It's not BC or AD. It's post-Booblets apocalypse.
Yeah.
The boob-pocalypse.
Yes.
That's pretty crazy. So is he actually in South Dakota yet?
No, he's in Denver right now.
He's in Denver.
Yeah, because he said he had a few gigs before he got over there.
He's got to get a few good gigs. And I was asking him, I mean, are there clubs in South Dakota? I mean, remember your comment on that? Did you hear that podcast, by the way? Because
I listened to the whole thing.
That was a burn.
Oh, Jeff, you nailed it.
Burn
every time
cast.
I was thinking something, you just came right in and said.
Right. Well, my favorite one had to be when I said, "So what is there? Is there clubs in South Dakota?" He said, "Well, there's a, you know, clubs like the one Brandon and I had." And you said,
"Failures."
My favorite was when he said something about he was going after some sort of style, and you were like, so not funny.
Not funny. The other one was when
he
said, I'm my own biggest critic. And Jeff said,
Are you
really?
Because I could name about 12.
Oh, that was brutal. But so, yeah, so post Booblets.
Yeah.
But he's going to come back for the festival.
Yeah,
so
he'll be back.
People
were you,
don't
Brent,
miss him.
Were you on the his show? Didn't he have like a show where he got roasted on Tuesday?
I was on his show. Yeah, I got to. Let's see. My best Dan Booblets joke was he was the first person ever diagnosed with type 2 diabetes without a blood test. The doctor saw his Twinkie tattoo and was like, yep, you got it.
You got it. Does he have a Twinkie tattoo?
Yeah, it's on his arm.
I didn't even know that.
Now he has a perfect name for if he ever has a son, type 3 Dan Booblets.
That's good.
Instead of Dan Booblets Jr., it'll be Dan Booblets type 3.
Type 3, yes. God. Anyways, it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You've been doing some stuff.
There's
also,
stuff.
Since you've been named Mr. Tonight in San Diego.
It's pretty exciting, man.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I don't know if I told you the story of it, at least on the air or whatever, was they liked me as the co-host, you know, and they weren't really going to even have me audition because they wanted to keep that part intact.
Yeah.
And so they were holding all these auditions, and I was getting frustrated watching people audition.
Right.
So I met with Fale and asked him if I could do it. And I had cut my hair, and he looked at me like a different person, I think.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, wait a minute, maybe you can do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to put it all on that, but then he let me audition, and they said I had the best audition. So
there you go.
So I'm very excited to do
Congrats.
It.
Congrats.
And I'm hoping, you know, we can involve more San Diego people.
San Diego peeps.
Yeah.
I definitely know from the comedian's perspective, we were pumped to see that.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I want to have them hopefully do another round of, you know, packet submissions and try to let people get in, you know, get on it. Because I just think the more people we have with talent in San Diego can make the show better.
Right.
So anyway.
Do any shows or anything?
Did a couple of weird ones. I did this thing at the Music Box.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Anthology
that?
Downtown? It was this huge place. It was like a gigantic venue. Three level balconies and, you know, I don't know how many people it fits in there. But there was probably a couple hundred people for that. It was a Bo Scott.
Yeah, production.
Productions. I think it was a CD release party.
Yeah.
Which, don't ask me how a DJ releases a CD. I don't know if that's all everybody else's songs.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he makes his own music. I didn't ask too many questions.
So how was the show?
It was pretty good. I had to go on first. It was a little weird because he wanted me like warm them up or like have them come in like as I'm talking, like having people
come.
And I was like, it's not really my thing, Bo.
Yeah.
How about you just have them sit down and then I'll do my jokes.
Yeah.
Can we do that? And he also asked me to dress up, so I wore a suit. Nobody else did. I was like, what is going on? I feel like I'm, you know.
Josh Nelson didn't wear a suit?
He didn't. I didn't, you know. he was the feature for Adam Ray, so. And then
Adam Ray must
he didn't dress up either.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was good, you know. I did like 20 minutes almost at the top and then brought out Bo as the host. So it was very strange.
That is weird.
But they cheered for him like it was fucking Guns N' Roses, you know what
really?
I mean? So I think a lot of people were there for the DJ because they were going to move the chairs out later and have dancing and
did
music.
Did you stay for that?
I didn't. I stayed for most of it, but my parents were there and they were tired and it was their last night. So we had to bail.
Okay.
But, I mean, I could tell from the audience. They were, I think, more into Bo than anything else. Like, they were probably waiting for him. Probably waiting for his music.
Music.
But, I mean, You know, Adam Ray's really, really good.
Yeah.
But it was they weren't making it easy for any of us. So
really,
that was my impression of it, that it was for. But I had fun with it. I like going on early because it's like I get so much anxiety. I'm glad it's over with.
It's done with.
Yeah.
And then we went up together at 50 Barrels.
That was really fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I feel like that was one of our better duo sets.
Yeah, it'd been a while too, so it was.
We didn't do any of the duo material that we'd written together.
No.
Which made it easier because we could just remember our own stuff.
Right. And we somewhat planned, but we didn't use it at all. So
didn't look at it, which I liked.
Yeah.
Did. So how does that work?
It was really fun this time. It was like, so we went up, we kind of did the way we always perform, which is go up and riff off of the audience and off of the crowd and the weird 50 Barrels art and wine room.
Yeah.
Basically, he was like, let's just start the way we start, which is just fooling around. And then we would bounce. He would do a joke, and then I would do one sort of back and forth that were similar, like in the same vein.
Yeah,
right?
It kind of works more. It feels like more like a story because we'll kind of like talk to, like I'll kind of deliver the joke to him and then out to the audience and then I'll set him up for the next thing.
He set me up beautifully for this one, better than I set him up.
You already know
he knows my material
stories
so well, so he would be like prompting me with stuff.
That's unique.
And
I saw the pictures and I was like, nah, how does that work?
Oh, man,
but I bet it's
so much fun. He filmed it and I felt like, and you said even after maybe we could submit for festivals with some of that stuff.
Yeah,
it's unique as a duo.
Yeah.
It was different. I think what was most exciting was if we had a bit. Like, I would do something like San Diego Weatherman, and then he wrote a bit on stage, like, the hot female San Diego Weather. And, like, so we were creating stuff, too, and I don't think the audience knew what was created and what was...
Right. That's like we got that Yelp review from Doug, you know, and he said, I couldn't tell when the act started or, you know, when the material was ready.
And that's what I love about it,
that's
you know?
That audience expect comedy to be.
That's right.
You know,
So it was kind of like a third crowd work and a third of riffing or writing on stage, and then probably a third of us bouncing our individual act jokes off of each other.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun, and then you know, I didn't do any of the closers, which were great.
Close to 45.
That's great.
Yeah, I think it was so easy too. Like I didn't get to any of my closers. I didn't feel like we needed to do them. He did a tremendous closer, and I was like, "That is good. We're done."
All right.
So I would love to do that again. I thought it made doing 45 minutes much quicker and easier. You didn't even think we weren't running out of stuff.
It's so weird. That makes comedy feel like a concert almost, like, you know, how two people are playing off each other, you know?
Yeah, I think it was like half improv. Like my lady friend does improv, and I was describing it to her, and she's like, that's kind of what we do. And I was like, oh, cool. So I guess I have done improv then.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, it was half improv and half our act.
Yeah.
But I liked it a lot.
Because when Brian asked us to do 55 at first, I was like, I don't know if we could do 55, you know. And then when we did 40 or whatever, I was like, we didn't really even get into like a quarter of our material.
Right. Right. Well, he had lit 90. Us too. So, I mean, our time was up. But he was also like, initially he said, why don't you do an opening set, then Jeff does an opening, and then we do, like, I'll do 15, he does 15, then we do a set together. And we felt like it's going to be weird. Would rather just be bought up, you know, start together and finish together.
Well, he wanted it to be me, duo, and then just you.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that
would be really hard.
But, I mean, I'd say, well, I'd be willing to try just about anything. But now that that went so well, just the way it was, I'd rather do it like that again. Because it was less pressure than trying to remember the material we'd written as a duo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was more like we could do our individual jokes and then just write new stuff all around.
Yeah. And like I said, there was like a group of like young people and then there was like three older ladies and they both loved it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just we might as well drop what some guy said
to us.
Oh,
man.
I mean, some guy said, like, I just saw Bill Burr and that's,
first of all, he was like, I just saw that redhead comedian.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Like Louis C.K.? He's like, no, the other guy. Like, Bill Burr.
Yeah. And he said that we were 10 times funnier than
that.
Yeah.
And then I tried to make him write that down and record it into my phone. But
maybe you guys are onto something with that. You should keep booking gigs as a duo.
Yeah,
maybe. Well, I mean, that was Brian's idea, or Riley's, to do it. It wasn't like...
Oh, don't give him all the credit.
But then it was weird, because the poster came out, and it was just me.
It was just him, and he paid you more, too.
I'm not going to change that, though.
No,
we'll leave that the way it is.
He has the credits. I just bring just me.
Just brings the funny. Because he really did, I think, probably the heavy lifting, in that set me up a lot better than I set him up.
I'm sure that could go a bunch of different ways, where if you did it a lot, he would be strong and pick you up on some sets, and you would be stronger and pick him up on some sets, but you would have that dynamic where nobody really falls off because the other one picks each other.
Yeah, we
up.
Really didn't have any lulls because I think there was that element. And we started working together so long ago as far as like I'd be in the booth, he'd be on the stage, and we'd be going back and forth.
Right.
So this is sort of an extension of that. That's where the idea came up with, like, oh, maybe I'll just get up on stage and we'll just do it up there. And then some of it gets weird because you end up just looking at the other guy and talking to him. So we have to remember to cheat out and look at the audience and then back and forth.
Mm.
Otherwise, it can be visually a little distracting. But once we're both going outward to the audience and having a conversation, like all three of us, the audience and us, I felt like it was really clicking.
It's almost kind of like a play.
Yeah.
You know, that you're talking to each other and then going out, you know. Huh. We did the Palace the weekend together where we did the four shows. And I remember the first show on Friday was tough.
Really rough.
You know, it was rough for everybody. To which the booker was like, maybe we shouldn't do this again. And then we did the late show and just absolutely did amazing. You know?
It was totally different. The audience was different. We were different. But we had to loosen up a little bit.
How'd three and four go?
Three and four were good. One of them was like a drunken riff fest where we basically did like 45 minutes with no material and just crowd work. And Zach liked that one.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think it's a really fun thing. It's like less pressure too, for me anyway, because I get so anxious. This time at least we're going up together. You're not like, it's just me. It's we bomb together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
that was really fun.
And then the only other show I did Thursday at the Store.
Oh, how was that?
It was like the first 4 minutes was like amazing. And then I still did good, but yeah, we still get a minute. But yeah, the first couple of minutes were really good. And then
was Lou there bringing people up?
Yeah, Lou was there.
I always think those nights are a little better. What do you think?
It was a good crowd, too. There was like 40 people in there. And the first couple of people had a tough time.
Did
so
they?
It's like, you know, sometimes there's a lot of people, but that doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
You know,
it's the quality, not the quantity.
Yeah.
But I always feel like with Lou bringing people up, it's one less thing for people to stress out about, the intros, and the show goes better.
For sure. Hey, we got more with Brent Riley.
Brent Riley. Don't you dare.
We'll be back at 3
minutes. Junior.
Today's episode is brought to you by Film in Diego, a six-part series airing Thursday night at 11 p.m. on KPBS. Film in Diego highlights San Diego's growing film community, diverse film festivals, film history, award-winning films, and filmmakers and talent. This show is not only educational and inspiring, it will show you how diverse and talented San Diego filmmakers are. Think film and TV are just an L.A. thing? Think again. To see full episodes and clips, visit kpbs.org and search the words Film in Diego.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment.
It's only the second segment.
Yeah, two other things that we can discuss is we had the 10th anniversary show at Winston's last Friday.
That's right.
That was good.
We didn't bring that up yet?
Definitely got to talk about
it. That
was amazing.
It was good to see everyone there. It was a little chatty.
It was very chatty. It was just like the old days.
Yeah.
There was
I don't remember that many people being there at the old days.
No, but I mean, it was definitely a comic fest and chatty. But
so it was fun hanging out. And
yeah, it was fun seeing everybody again.
It was good.
And the show went, it was busier than probably... Yeah. We thought it would be.
It felt like a finals of some of the contests we had.
Yeah.
Speaking of contests, we had the contest last night at Winston's. And
who advanced in that one?
Alan Henderson, Jordan Parker, Oren Rosenberg, and then Chris Curtis.
Okay.
So,
that's a good lineup.
Everyone did okay. Nobody, most people didn't bomb.
Uh-huh.
And there was a decent, I think there was like 25 people there.
Uh-huh.
It's
kind of fun. I see people being like, I'm so excited to be moving to the second round of a contest. And I remember those feelings myself. So I'm like, oh, wow, you know, that's cool that people have that.
Yeah.
Because I know there's not another contest going on.
Right,
and man, it just brings back that pressure. You know, I know it's like our...
I never cared until the finals. That's the only time I really cared.
You did the contest before?
I did it 2 weeks ago, so I was supposed to do last night, but David Weiser switched with me, and I got to do a round with a bunch of heavy hitters, which I didn't really mind,
because
I look at contests the same way. It's like, it's the stage time.
Yeah.
If you sweat how you do in it, you know, you're going to end up disappointed because you can have good sets and not make it.
I'd be better if like they didn't tell me there was a contest going on and I'd just like, oh, go in here and get up on the mic.
Yeah.
You did all right. You know, because even auditions and all kind of stuff like that, I suck at those, man. I just blow it every time.
I don't know. I just take it as another set. I just mess around and
I drew first, so I didn't advance and I figured I had a decent set, so I just had to call it, oh, I had a decent set, just like anything else.
Right.
Yeah. The crowds have been pretty good, you know, 20 to 25 every time. You know, last night was on the slower end, but it's good to have that for the first round.
Yeah.
You know, when we used to do it, we'd have like half the comics wouldn't show up for the first round.
Well, I was there the other night for it, it was really busy for the contest. So that was pretty good for an early round.
Yeah. I heard somebody talking about how they just love contests and they hate Ocean Beach, but they're there because they want to support the contest.
Audience member says that?
They hate Ocean Beach. That's so funny.
Did they know somebody? Or?
No, she's just a girl that loves comedy. She always hangs out at the Madhouse open mic.
By the way, you would have to be like a San Diego native to make a statement like that. I hate Ocean Beach. Like, if you imagine, like, my parents are just in town visiting, and they're like, this is the most beautiful place on earth. You know what I mean? They're by the ocean.
Yeah.
It's February, and it's 80 degrees out. We're walking around, and they're like, this is so amazing. So for someone, they would have to be like, oh, well, I live in La Jolla.
Exactly.
To be like,
that's
Ocean Beach.
Jaded.
Fuck Ocean Beach. You know what I mean? It's very jaded. It's like comparing, you know, it's not like it's Cleveland and Ocean Beach or some shit. Like, it's called Ocean Beach.
Right. There's a little stench. Just get over it.
Yeah, he's got me there.
He does have you there. Yeah, so, Brent, did you do any shows this week other than the Boo Boots farewell show?
And by the way, how did Bajan's poem go on the...
Oh, God, so funny. He had this line about the or when a transvestite hooker steals your laptop. And it was just so...
He was roasting him via poem. It was a rhyme roast. He read part of it to me, and I was like, whew! Because you remember how harsh his roasting is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, his poems are equally harsh. But he had some good ones in there.
Or when you got drunk and had nothing really interesting to say. That was really funny.
He talked about Dan hitting weed and then throwing up and passing out or something in rhyme. Wasn't that in the poem?
He even made a mention to your guys' class having you fucked one of the hottest girls in our class.
Oh my God. He really put booblets out there.
Yeah,
who
did he have sex with?
But it was brought to...
But it was in the poem. So,
wow.
Talk to Bijan on that one.
Yeah.
It's deep.
So that was a good show. That
one was really good. I think other than that, it was just Mike's... I got up 4 times last night, which is always fun.
Whoa. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. San Diego is the only... I mean, I've been up 4 times, a couple times this month.
Yeah.
And I could never do that in L.A.
Were you in L.A. before? We didn't bring him in properly. That's my fault.
Oh, that's fine. It's
it's
because you guys included me in the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah, he's here.
We bring in Brent Lowry.
Yeah, Lowry, yeah.
Hey. Welcome, everybody.
Appreciate it.
So where did you start comedy?
I actually technically started in Denver.
Okay.
I lived out there the year they legalized weed after I graduated from college. I was just trying to figure out what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And they have a really great scene out there.
I bet they do.
I would go to Comedy Works and watch their new talent night every Tuesday. And
that's
then,
a great
How
club,
long ago? Man. What year are we talking?
2013.
Here? Okay.
And so...
That's the biggest club there, right? Comedy Works is the big one.
That one's been there for 25 years. Mm-hmm. It's Dave Chappelle's second favorite club. Mm. His first one's... Punchline, I think.
I think it's pretty hard to get on Comedy Works.
Yeah, well, I had to call in just to get on the new talent night, a 2-minute newbie spot. I had to call in for 10 straight weeks to their hotline. 2 minutes.
10 straight weeks you called in to get 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you got on.
And then I got on.
Is that a random drawing or that you
No, they make sure, like, they keep a list, and if you called consistently, they'll give you a nod. But I just saw the director posted, they got 160 calls this week. So...
How many spots are there?
Newbie spots, there's 2, but they do it. Their open mic or their new talent night is really interesting because they have people kind of move up to a certain scale. Like B gets if you're B, you get 3 minutes. If you're A, you get 4 minutes. And then they have one like local headliner or somebody who's on the road do 10 minutes to close out the show.
Mm-hmm.
But they mix it all up together. So after somebody does like 5. They'll go, hey, this next person, it's their first time at Comedy Works, give it up, and then there's a 2-minute set. So it's a unique way of doing it, but I was really excited by it, and I called in, did 2 minutes.
How was the crowd for that?
It was awesome. The crowds are always great.
And that was the first time you had ever gone up?
Mm-hmm. And that set went awesome, and then I decided to enter their New Faces contest, which was in the summer. And I was like, oh, I don't need to do open mics. I'll show up to the contest. I'm a new
to face. The contest. I'm and, a new face. The only qualifying.
Thing. Right. New face. Perfect. Yeah. The thing on my 2 minute set, I had written those jokes like the day of. Mm. So I decided I would do that on the 5 minute set for the show. And it was terrible.
Was there a crowd there?
Yeah. Okay. Great crowd. But it was my first. So I had a crush and bomb right next to each other on the big stage. And how much did I crush? I don't know. But that crowd's always hot.
Yeah.
And then I decided, since I'm from Southern California, my grandma lives in L.A., and again, it's a naive thing, but, just like I thought I could win the New Faces contest, I'll move to L.A. and I'll get good at stand-up work.
So are you doing open mics in Denver at all, or you just did two sets?
Two sets, that was it. So I don't really
count. Then said I'm ready for L.A., right?
Okay. So I don't really count my start in comedy until January of 2014 when I started in L.A., and that was just like a huge slap in the face. Like,
was it?
Oh no, this isn't going to be, you know, you go up to the Ice House with the 2 minute set that crushed at Comedy Works and you read from your script and all these comics are like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah.
And then you realize that there's some really funny people here at the same open mic as you that clearly haven't got to where they want career wise, but they're funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every single open mic and room in LA. So that was fun to kind of like my first year realize this is going to take a long time.
Yeah.
And so
You hit a bunch of mics though up there?
Yeah. And I got the benefit of working for a comedy festival at Flappers.
Cool.
So I got like a home club that would give me spots. But it did kind of feel like I'm not ready for this yet. Like it's nice to have this opportunity, but I don't have anything to show. And so when I would take trips down to San Diego to see my parents, I would do mics down here. And the scene just had this energy to it, like, okay, I could stretch my legs down here a little more.
Get up more often, or
get up,
maybe people be a little bit more welcoming? Or
get
what
up more often, get longer sets, not have to drive through traffic and sit through lotteries. And the people seemed... I really liked the people. They were willing to talk comedy. It felt a little clicky, and that was the most intimidating part. But
More so than L.A. or different, a different way?
I think L.A. was just, I was so used to just being on my own that it felt like everyone in L.A. was going on their own on some level.
Yeah.
There were cliques, but...
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like everyone's in direct competition with each other and are cognizant of that.
And that's really why there's less comedy talks. Like, people are less open to sharing.
I've heard that
their
before.
Ideas.
I've heard that before, that there's less analysis of comedy. But I think that just depends who you're talking to, maybe.
It does, and your relationship with them. But people are more guarded there.
They don't want to give up any secrets.
Yeah, it's
like, hey, I learned this week. No, I ain't telling you.
Right, whereas here, if you hear something like, I've got friends that work at ACC who pick the brains of the headliner, and then they run over to the open mic, and they tell all the open micers what the guy said. So it's this, like, information fest, and we all understand down here.
That's cool.
Nobody has any credits.
Right.
We're all just trying to do the same thing, get funnier.
Good. Yeah.
So you said you went up four times. You went up, what, Winston's, Habano's, Madhouse? Where else?
Winston's, Habano's, Madhouse, and Erel's. I went and hung out before his show, and so he gave me a little spot before.
Oh, okay.
What show is that?
He does a show at the Garden Bistro and Bar.
Isn't that the one you're doing tonight?
I believe that's where I'm at tonight, yes. That's right.
Well, don't bail on him, because last night, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but Eric Knowles canceled.
Oh, really?
Like 30 minutes before, because he, I guess, just got an opening spot for Tamer Katan at the Laugh Factory in Vegas. So, yeah, I understand why he would take that.
Oh, yeah.
But how did he make it?
How did he get there in time to do that? Oh, you don't know.
He didn't do the bistro show.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, but how did he can? So he knew more than 30 minutes before. He was probably already in Vegas, I'd imagine.
Well, he was already in Vegas, but
he wouldn't have made the E-Rail show.
Plan was to come back for Friday, but apparently he got a gig and then was like,
I'll be there at the, what is it? King. Unless Tamer, do you need me, Tamer? Tamer, are you listening?
All right, we're back. You listen to WSJ, Radio.com, the worldwide leader in the talk about the rated bike.
Today's episode is brought to you by Film in Diego, a six-part series airing Thursday night at 11 p.m. on KPBS. Film in Diego highlights San Diego's growing film community, diverse film festivals, film history, award-winning films, and filmmakers and talent. This show is not only educational and inspiring, it will show you how diverse and talented San Diego filmmakers are. Think film and TV are just an L.A. thing? Think again. To see full episodes and clips, visit kpbs.org and search the words Film in Diego.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment. So you live in San Diego now?
Yep. I live in Hillcrest with Matt Bird and David Weiser.
Okay.
Okay.
How's that going for you?
It's good. It's
why did you mention Hillcrest before those two? Was that related to it in some way? Are you guys some sort of... I see you're wearing the Distinguished Scoundrels hat, too. You're pushing this...
Yeah, I always roll with three dudes.
There it is.
The Distinguished Scoundrels, I went on that tour with them. That was awesome.
But was that? Oh, you did?
That was like a game changer for...
How did I not realize
my
that?
My comedy. Yeah, I went as their cameraman to South Dakota.
And did you get to open the shows and stuff?
Yeah.
Cool.
And that was
a good tour.
Yeah, I mean, like 3 hours in, I was really, really regretting what I had signed up for.
Really?
Why the three that? Of them are like these...
To this, film them or what?
This nucleus, and they're, you know, they're themselves. They're very strong personalities, a few of them. And if I...
Few of them. There's only three
there's
of them.
A few of them.
If I didn't have Colin on that trip, I would have flown home from San Antonio.
So it was Colin.
On day two.
Brian Riley. Dan Bublitz Jr.
Uh-huh. And then
and you.
Myself.
And that's it, just the four of you.
Yeah, in a car, but I mean, that's...
3 hours in.
14 days in a car with
Let me guys. Ask you this. Was that because Bublitz was driving? Because I've driven with Bublitz.
Oh, you know he's a terrible driver?
Oh, my God.
That was part of the roast. I go 3 hours into the trip. I found out Colin doesn't have his license. 6 hours on the trip, I lost mine at a gas station in New Mexico.
Dude.
Then 9 hours we just took... Dan's away because he's a terrible driver.
Oh my God, he's
and
so
then
dangerous.
The rest of the way, Brian Riley drove me fucking crazy.
Driving or
that? Just no. In general,
we went to
he's intense.
That we had to drive to that San Nicolas Island gig. Like, could drive all the way up
and
then
take boobs.
Yeah. So I drove all the way there, and then when we came back, I drove back, but I was like tired by the end. It was like a half an hour left, and I was like, Dan, you got to drive, all right? And I'm sitting in the side. So 5 minutes into that. With this herky-jerky shit that he's doing. From the back seat, you hear Patrick DeGear, who's blind, say, maybe I should drive. And we're like, oh, my God. So, yeah.
I think I kind of, I don't want to pitch material, but you ever see someone that's such a bad driver, you want to know what they look like?
Yes.
Yeah, I did that today. Like, somebody drove so terrible, I'm like, I need to
Who
see
could
what
that be?
I need to know what they look like.
And that is Bublitz. A great bit.
Yeah, so yeah. I think
that's true, too.
That happened
really
today,
that.
So I'm going to try to write that out. I think that's a funny idea.
For sure, because you're assuming, you have some assumptions, but you're like, I need to know.
Yeah. I need
that's
to
not
know.
An Asian man.
Like, you always look at them like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know?
We almost got crashed into when we were driving up the Vista.
That's true. That was a big minivan trying to knock us off the road. I hate when people don't use their signal, too. And you're just going to drift into my lane. It's like one of Billy's jokes.
Yeah.
And then crushed us.
Yeah, that's
Can you imagine
Dan's
dying to go to that show?
Dan's big flaw is lane changes. He
lane
drives
changes.
Straight.
Yeah. He can't change lanes. Well, he gets right up into people's asses, and then he goes too slow and too fast. And he's just all over the place.
Yeah. I remember when he almost killed us every time he made a lane change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nightmare.
But those guys are brothers, and that's what the trip ended up becoming, is like, quickly I realized that we could talk comedy every night by seeing each other's sets and then going straight back to analyze them.
Yeah.
That was...
So you would give each other feedback on the whole show?
And that was the first moment that I realized I didn't have to be an individual in comedy.
Like,
the clicks can help.
So the set started to improve, you think, as the analysis continued?
Yeah,
or?
And we would do stuff like we would each say who we thought had the best set a certain show. And so you would strive to kind of, you wanted to earn best set.
Right. Was it different every show? Like who?
Yeah, we all, I mean, we all took at least one.
Uh-huh.
But you always went up first?
Colin hosted a few shows, and so in that case, I would be the second person up.
Okay.
But,
okay.
It was always Dan or Brian closing out the show.
Do you think Bublitz is a bad driver because he continually falls asleep at the wheel, but he doesn't realize he's doing that?
I think it's just like when you learn how to drive in South Dakota where there's no one, mm-hmm. and you can just drive like that, then all of a sudden you get thrown into a city where there's a ton of people. It's just those two clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the shorter you are, the worse you are at driving.
That's possible.
Isn't Dave Wright awful at driving, too?
He drives fast and very aggressively. He likes to get in that passing lane and then just drive up people's asses. No matter how fast they're going, it's not fast enough.
Yeah.
And then once they move after he, you know, almost kills us, he goes back to the regular speed. So
what's
I'm always like, why do you need to drive 99 miles an hour?
He just needs to win, right?
He just needs to win. Yeah, he needs to win on the road. It's a matter of winning.
And that comes down to like a short man's complex.
It's, you know, you're in a powerful car bossing people around. But my, you know, one time I was in there, I started trying to film him.
Driving?
Yeah, because when he didn't realize he would get this road rage, he'd start like, you know, cursing and screaming at people. Like, oh, fucking waste the passing lane! And I'm like, we're going 85 already.
Yeah.
What are you? Why are you speeding up now?
I do that sometimes too, though. Not when people are going 85, and when people are going like 55 in the passing
lane.
Well,
that's annoying.
That pisses me off.
I get that. But, you know, he's the kind of guy, not only do you know, drive up to see who it is doing that, but he's making, like, what are you going to get out of the car and fight this person? Are you gonna, you know, screaming at him, cursing, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, and so I tried to start.
He sounded like,
I tried to, you know,
egg scrambled.
I always think he sounds like he's like a car that won't start. He's like, off the road.
Oh my God, that's perfect.
And he's losing it, and I start trying to film him with my cell phone. He's like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm just like, well, I'm starting this new show with Seinfeld. It's called Comedians in Cars Getting Angry. I want you to be the star. So I'll keep trying to do that because I get footage of him just losing his shit. But yeah. It's not worth it for us to die. So
what happened at the three-hour mark that you're like, wow, this is a bad decision?
Three-hour mark.
That's when Dan started driving, right?
No, nope, that's when Yuma Border Patrol pulled us over for edible marijuana brownies and wax pens. And I was sitting there like, what and why
no
did
way.
I do this?
And you had to toss all that stuff?
They actually let us keep it.
They did?
Yeah, but then we ate all of the brownies because we were scared that the Texas Border Patrol was going to get us.
So what, do they check your car or something? Or
we went up and, like, we're four cars back in the line, and there's a dog that just runs up, skips all the other cars, and just hops up on the driver's window, and we're all just like, gulp.
Oh, my God.
None of you have a card or anything?
We did have a card, but we're in Arizona at that point where it doesn't really matter.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And they used to be way harsher, but I guess they just kind of scared us.
And let you go? But then you ate them all?
Yeah, and we did try to, I mean, we tried to sneak the wax pens into Texas, and then...
What's a wax pen?
So they, like, a vape pen, I guess.
But electronic cigarette with weed oil
in
it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because we didn't want to take, like, actual marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But we risked it anyways because we're idiots and they didn't have a drug dog, so we got through. But we, like, that whole stretch.
Yeah.
Like,
that was scary.
8 hours of just nerves, and we're all just like, the last two were driving in the middle of the night through the Texas Border Patrol looking like.
After you'd eaten too many brownies.
What do you mean by you have to go through Border Patrol to get into a new state?
So Texas Border Patrol can be set up, like, not every state has it, but the ones close to the, like, Mexican border have them. And it's like 100 miles. They can be 100 miles into or away from the border. So we're driving in, and we thought it might be at the very start of Texas, and it ended up being like almost 100 miles in.
Possibly a poorly planned tour, you think, to go through these areas?
I mean, bringing weed.
Was it necessary to go through the worst border patrol?
Terribly routed. Before, no, yeah. It was terribly routed.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being one of the greatest experience.
Did you feel like you were a brother by the end of it?
Oh, yeah.
They gave him a hat. Look at them.
At Kansas City.
They made him pay for it.
They did. They made you buy that hat.
At a Denny's in Kansas City, they made me a scoundrel. That only lasted a few weeks.
They don't even do that podcast anymore, do they?
No.
You should jump in on that. You should be the third. By the way, are you only a scoundrel at that Denny's, or are you officially a scoundrel everywhere?
If we ever go back there, I'll be a scoundrel.
You'll be a scoundrel again.
But until then,
everyone's a scoundrel.
Until then, I wear the hat, ironically.
Yeah.
Were there any, like, big fights?
Oh, we all yelled at Brian Riley at some point.
Just
really?
Too much Brian?
Too many Brians?
Yeah.
You know, me and Colin gave him the name for that podcast, and
really?
We couldn't believe when he's like, that's good.
Because too much Brian.
We did it as like a joke. Like,
you're like, no, you don't get it. That's the name of this tour, Too Much Brian.
That's what I said. Is that that's what we should have called the tour.
That's funny. So what, he's the most obnoxious of the group? Is that what the story is?
He was going through a lot of it because he was going home to his parents, and we stayed at their house for 4 nights, and they're very like...
Oh, wow.
It was weird.
That was in Kansas City?
Yeah, it was like being at a sleepover in a sense because...
How many Legos does he have at his parents' house?
He's got a lot of
filled
Legos.
Filled with Legos.
Tons of Nerf
guns. Is that a thing?
He loves Lego. Legos. Just something
video
like
games on video games. Yeah, it's all stored in boxes that say Brian on down there.
Oh, wow. And so you had to stay with the parents.
And he like is he goes back and forth with trying to like be his the good son mm-hmm. and then be a scoundrel and then control us and like... You know, hey, make sure you have dinner with my parents.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
so you were about to lose it.
Oh, Colin especially. Like he's like he would just stay in the basement, just like
Colin's probably the most scoundrelly of the scoundrels.
Yeah,
think,
definitely,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's got a lot of Zach Miller in him.
Of course, mm-hmm. That's his mentor.
That's his mentor.
Plus, that's how he got a job.
That's right.
He had a lot of Zach Miller in him.
Got any Zach Miller in you? Want some? Yeah,
get it.
I get
Sounds
it.
Like a T-shirt.
That's right.
I saw a random kid on El Cajon Boulevard wearing wearing Zach's shirt.
Oh, really?
Just a kid.
That's awesome.
I think, yeah. I mean, we're going to see it on homeless people and stuff.
Well, I saw him on El Cajon Boulevard. It's pretty close
That's
to being
pretty
homeless.
Good. It's awesome.
It's good, though.
Well, you guys sold a lot of merch. I mean, they sold a lot of merch, right?
Sure. I didn't get any of that money.
No, none of the merch money.
Did they give you any money to film?
No, I lost 2 cameras, actually.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Still a good experience, though.
Awesome.
You get a lot of photos of Dan Bublitz?
Yeah, we got some good ones.
So, you get
sleeping?
Are you guys producing anything? Like, did you get video or anything?
No.
Still?
No.
It was just a good excuse
to
tag along.
They brought you along. This.
And then I actually lost them on purpose. I was like, oh, no one's going to watch this footage. I should just leave this in a gutter.
Just threw away the footage. It was that bad.
It's for our own good.
That's funny.
That was actually the name of Dan's third CD. Just leave this in the gutter.
Leave this in the gutter.
All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Jack. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Film in Diego, a 6-part series airing Thursday night at 11 p.m. on KPBS. Film in Diego highlights San Diego's growing film community, diverse film festivals, film history, award-winning films, and filmmakers and talent. This show is not only educational and inspiring, it will show you how diverse and talented San Diego filmmakers are. Think film and TV are just an L.A. thing? Think again. To see full episodes and clips, visit kpbs.org and search the words Film in Diego.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we're back. Final segment already. So, Brent, do you think you'll ever make another go at L.A.?
Oh, absolutely. I think that was the whole plan when I left, was like, hey, L.A.'s not going anywhere. I don't think you can really make too much of your career in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great launch pad, and it's so close to L.A. that you can go be familiar with that while you're also down here.
Do you go up there much?
Yeah, probably go up there once every 2 months.
Okay.
I'm trying to go once a month this year, but I just got my old job back. I'm selling popcorn at Costco again.
How's that going?
It's awesome. I've quit that job 3 times now, and it's just
quit the job 3 times. They keep hiring you back.
Yeah, it's the only job for me. I quit it right before I went on the tour.
Only job for me. Selling popcorn at Costco is the only job for
me.
They
call me Señor Palomitas.
That's cool. That's cool.
Why is that? What does that mean?
It means Mr. Popcorn. We do a lot of Spanish.
That's what we call
stores.
Albert Linton. Yeah. Most of the time,
we go to like El Centro, and we go to 2 stores in Chula Vista that are almost all Spanish-speaking stores. And that's really the only way I can stay sane is if I treat it like I'm up on a stage kind of doing crowd work when I'm giving free popcorn.
So that you do presentations or whatever?
I'm just scooping popcorn and giving free samples and telling people how much it is. But since it's like, it's not really a sales job because you don't push. It's not a high-pressure thing.
There's no commission or anything?
I get bonus structures, but I actually quit over a raise that they wouldn't give me, and this time when I'm coming back, I'm getting the raise somehow. So,
did you always give 2 week notice at least?
Yeah, okay. Always a 2 week notice. I'll do it again too.
I'll do it again.
Is there a plan for? Are you gonna like a 5 year plan? You're gonna go to LA, or once you feel, hey, I'm ready to go to LA?
I think I want to be.
I thought you were gonna be like a 5 year popcorn plan.
Yeah.
maybe a caramel, some sort of a crunch you could involve.
I think that the plan is, so I'm just, March 1st will be my first year in San Diego. I want to be here for two more after that.
Okay.
And then if it's L.A., awesome, but maybe it's New York. Because I hear that that's a place where you just kind of, again, put away the agents, managers talk, and you just focus on the craft. Mm-hmm. So, again, if I could go from San Diego to New York and get even better... When I do eventually go to L.A., I think I'll have more to show.
Uh-huh.
But I do think ultimately that's where I'll have to be. It's a shithole. You can't, like, if you're on the bottom rungs in L.A., it's shitty and it's hopeless. Tough, like, yeah. I knew three comics that first year that I was there that committed suicide. And, wow. Like, open micers. And I could kind of understand, like...
Younger people? Older?
Like late 20s.
Okay. Even guys that have been there or have been doing comedy a long time have said to me like how frustrating it can be being in that bottom rung and feeling like there's no way to get up. Whereas other guys, you know, like Brian Simpson, he made it an immediate splash. I think it was because he did the work down here.
He stayed here and got bulletproof. I call it, yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Simpson is the constantly in the back of my head saying, like, just get funnier no matter what. Yeah. Like, you could focus on this, you could focus on that, four times a night, blah, 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 but just get funnier. If you stop getting funnier, that's when you've stopped, you know, being a comic. And he did take more time than he, like, a lot of people were telling him, hey, you should go up to L.A., you should go up to L.A.
But maybe he could have gone sooner, but I don't think he was ready, and he knew that, you know?
And he would have got lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. He would have been really good, but he still could have got lost in the shuffle. But by being here and really, really... waiting until it felt right. And maybe it didn't even feel right, but it, because he wasn't completely sure he was gonna like have that type of success in LA.
No, I don't think anybody's certain about anything,
but he knew he was funny in San Diego, so that confidence was able to translate.
But I've heard good things, like that people, you know, they've got respect for him up there right away. So
did you see, yeah, he crushed a kill time.
I've heard
that is just like brought tears to
it doesn't
eyes.
Surprise
Not
me
actually,
at all, but I'm pleasantly, I feel great about it because I'm a humongous fan of his, so I think it's really cool that they would give him a little bit of respect when, you know, traditionally they've been a little bit, LA's a little standoffish maybe to new comics or guys coming from down here.
Right, and that, you know, that bodes well for the scene to see from our perspective like that someone did that process.
But he, like you say, bulletproof in that, like, he doesn't give a fuck. And I think that's, you see that on his face. He's up there to do his thing.
Yeah, and he's
so
just
that,
so
that
funny.
That is good armor to wear when you go up there, I think, you know?
His jokes are just, like, he connects on these. He just gives you the facts and makes you see his point of view by the end of it. Like, he's not really too opinionated. He doesn't get people too riled up. But by the end of his bit, you're like, damn. I'll never look at a lost dog sign again the same. Like, oh, racist lifeguards are worse.
Very clear writing. I really like it. Yeah.
Well, we're coming up to the end unless you guys want to keep talking about
Brian Simpson. Tamer, Brian, let me know.
We're coming up to the end. So, Brent, what would you say is the worst show you've done so far?
Last year on Father's Day, I did a Solamente Español show.
So you speak Spanish then, I take it.
Uh-huh. And, okay. And Benji Garcia Reyes and Luis Sotelo had this showcase with Richard Villa and a couple other people that they wanted to tape and send to like BET Mexico.
Did they know you spoke Spanish or did you volunteer say?
No, they knew me as Señor Palomitas because I would go down to Salty Frog and do sets. Like
as Señor Palomitas?
Not fully, but like as I got into the material and people would respond to the Spanish, I would like do a joke in English and then
it's a cool character. Do you like to throw popcorn up in the air as you do the joke?
No, but that's what I tried to do on Father's Day because I was coming back from El Centro and I was like, those sets worked well in South Beach because I could do English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was all Spanish, like the first guy went up, the host, and I didn't understand a word he was saying.
Really?
Like, even when people would laugh, I'd be like, oh,
shit.
Yeah, okay. I didn't understand my intro.
Yeah.
But then at the end, they go, El Mas Gringo en el... Brand Lowry. And then I come up on stage, and I say, ¿Cómo se dice? Lost? And then instead of laughing, they were like, Perdido. Soy perdido. And then I thought that I could do all Spanish and maybe make it work, but it was so bad.
So you just did your regular material in Spanish?
Mm-hmm, but lots of it didn't translate. Richard Villa came up to me after, and he was giving me some pointers like on how to say my pin number joke. And like, he's like, you didn't use the right words. Like, but that you tried. And he and the feature were like, mad respect for going out there and having like a really...
How long did you do?
7 minutes with... the mic cutting out like the last three, just on and off, intermittently.
Nice.
But I was just...
Siete minutos. It's muy difícil, huh?
Sí, sí.
Que lástima.
Holy shit, dude. That's nuts. So that's the worst.
What's the best?
The best. Let's see. The Bublitz roast was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was just Tuesday. I don't know. One time in Grants Pass, Oregon... I kissed a woman on stage, like, because an old woman, her name was Yvonne, and I was doing a bit about how I want to kiss a girl from every letter of the alphabet, and her husband, like, let her come up on stage and kiss me. And
for the Y? To get the Y?
Y, yeah, to get the Y.
Cool.
I'm still looking for my best set.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But that's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
It was one of the...
Anytime you get kissed on stage, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Sure. It's happened to me a couple times.
It hasn't?
Yeah.
You ever take your clothes off like Bublitz on stage?
No, please. F. Integrity.
Integrity. Integrity.
Well, we're coming up to the end. Where can they find you? You got Twitter?
At Brent Lowry or on Facebook. Senor Palomitas has a Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's killer.
Yeah.
Do you work that character on stage ever?
He does.
Oh,
I should do
it. Represent him?
Like completely. like go all the way. Start to finish as Senor Palomitas. I haven't really done that. Huh? I tried to host the mic the other night at Madhouse as Senor Palomitas.
I would like to see that.
Yeah,
you gotta commit to it.
Yeah.
What kind of popcorn is it?
Oh, it's gourmet. Gluten free, no MSG, no trans fat. I'll bring some next time you guys ask me.
I know.
Me,
I'll bring
some. Sweet.
It would have been nice.
This was awesome.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for coming in, and we'll see you. When's your next gig?
Tonight. I'm doing Madhouse open mic. Be there.
All right. We'll see you next time. WSRadio.com, WorldLightNet.com. Bye.